Judges. And chapter 7, if I didn't say that yet. Judges chapter 7. Verse 1, then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod. So the rest of the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. We finished 2 Thessalonians last week, and we're just preaching a message tonight by itself called To Keep Us From Boasting. To Keep Us From Boasting. And I want to have a word of prayer, and we'll talk about this. Our Lord, I thank you, Father, for caring about us, about this church, about us as individuals, to condescend to men of low estate and to come into our midst and dwell among us and walk in the midst of the church and pay attention to what's going on here tonight, Father. We thank you for your care and how personal you are. We pray tonight you'd speak to us, and I pray tonight would be a great service, Lord. If we had 100,000 people tonight, Lord, it wouldn't be any more important, Father, because, Lord, it's what's important is we do things heartily as to you, and that you speak to us, and we respond to you, Father, and you're the royal guest here tonight, Father. So we pray that you do great things. We pray you'd empower and change lives, take someone to the next level spiritually, Lord, and do a great work in our midst, and help us to see clearly, to have our mind and thinking conform to your thinking, and have the mind of Christ, Lord. We ask you to help us and speak now in Jesus' name. Amen. In this passage, God says there's too many people for me to give you the Midianites. Now, you're all familiar with the story, for the most part, with Gideon. But the Midianites were there to invade and to take over the land. And God says in Isaiah, he says, my glory will I not give to another. And so he says, I won't, it's not like I don't like to. He says, my glory will I not give to another. God's glory is reserved for him specifically. And God says, you know what, there's too many people here for me to do this through you guys, because I know what you'll do. You will go ahead and take the glory and say you did it by yourself. If you had anywhere near an equal opportunity, an equal number, and an equal situation. So because of that, he says in verse 2, the people that are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. The Lord says, I'm not going to do something here because it's too easy for you to take the glory and to say you did it. But I'm going to do something here. I'm going to take care of the Midianites, but I'm just going to put you in the situation where you'll know it was me who did it, and there's no way you can say you did it. And of course, Israel, he called for those who wanted to come, and a group came, and he says, those who are afraid, go home, and a bunch went home and kept paring them down until they got down to 300. And they surrounded them and broke the vases and made all the vessels and made all the noise and blew the trumpets and cried sort of Lord and Gideon, and then the Midianites killed themselves pretty much, and God gave the victory. Sometimes God won't do something supernatural or miraculous because if he does it, those who are involved would think they did it. And I think that's one of the reasons we don't have revival today in America, because the overwhelming majority of churches right now are dependent on methods. And when they sell you these methods, when they send you their new idea of how to get the visitors and get them to come back and how to build a church and other stuff, it is vaunting how incredible their church growth was and how incredible this idea is. And almost like if God brought a revival, we'd all look at some leader and say, man, that guy's so incredible, he brought us revival. Whoever the newest guy who's the new pastor for a couple years and stuff. And I think sometimes God doesn't do something in our own personal lives for the same reasons. I think sometimes we tend to, if we're like Israel, we tend to get a little haughty when we succeed, which is probably the majority of people. Then God says, I can't really do something big with you right now because you're going to, you go from, Lord, I need you so bad, to look what I did as soon as God does it. And so God doesn't do that. The Lord makes many things. The Lord does many things with us to keep us from falsely boasting. He says, I don't want Israel boasting that they did this. They delivered themselves to the Midianites. So I'm going to go down to 300 people. I'm going to pare this way down, because I don't want you boasting of what you're doing. And it's very common in the Bible. And so just a few thoughts on that. First, the Lord uses the unlikely to keep us from boasting. The Lord uses the unlikely. 300 men. That's very unlikely. I think when they got split off into two groups and there was 300, then there's several thousand, I think he thought, well, at least I have, thousands. And then God said, okay, send all of them but the 300 home. And Gideon probably said, oh, no, we're in trouble here. And so God uses the unlikely. Many times you find someone in the Bible, when it's them to be used by God, they're a person saying, me? And you know why God does that? Because the person who says, me, is going to be the person that says, it wasn't me, it was him. Amen. At the very end of the thing. Where the person who says, of course, God, I knew you were going to call me, you needed me. Then at the end, what do you think is going to happen? Look what I did. I've met those people in time. And by the way, I've met those people and met them in ministry, and I've met them as soul winners. I've met them, and I don't meet a lot of them, but I've met them. And boy, they were very successful for a while with just their talents and abilities. But I can just tell you, they fizzle out. They disappear. They're not around very long. God's not going to let them get that glory for very long. They can get it for a minute, but it doesn't last very long. Gideon himself, look what he says about himself. If you go back to chapter 6, and look when God comes to him, or the angel comes to him in verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewithal shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said, if I found grace in your sight, show me a sign. So you got the wrong person. You got the wrong phone number, Lord. The wrong person here. First thing happens is, hail thou mighty man of valor, and he hides. And he says, you're going to deliver Midian. He says, I am the least in my father's family, and my father's family is the least in the tribe of Manasseh, and Manasseh is a half-tribe, the least tribe. I'm the bottom guy in Israel. And God said, I'm going to use you. Usually, the people that God greatly uses, if you walk up and say, I can't believe you've done this, they say, neither can I. Because that's who God calls. And God knows that. He says that very specifically in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He says, why does it? He says, that's what I do. And he says, this is my usual plan. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Now notice that. I want you to notice that it says not many. There are a few that God uses. There, in history, in revival, George Whitfield was an incredible orator. And I look at Lee Robertson was a great man of God and dynamic and really a very creative man and a very gifted man. And G.B. Vick was a great organizer and pastor of the biggest church in America. There's some of those, but a lot of them aren't that. And those people usually don't know that they're great. Moses ended up being an amazing leader, but he didn't think he could do it at the start. And Moses said, Lord, I can't go. They won't believe me. I'm slow of speech. I can't do this. So there's some gifted people, but those people are very careful that they give God the glory, so God can use them. So it says not many. There's a few, but not many. Most of the people God uses in history are not that talented. If you found out about D.L. Moody, you'd find out D.L. Moody was not that talented. If you found out about a lot of great people, you'd find out they weren't that talented, that God used in a great way, but they were able to give God a lot of glory. And verse 26 again, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things which are. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. There it is again. that no flesh should glory in his presence. People listen to Brother Hiles, and he was a very experienced preacher and leader in his life. They didn't understand. If you listen to his old sermons, he had a terrible problem with his throat. And he snorted the whole message. He'd say, and God said, and you got to go and preach the word of God. And I mean, every three words he would do this all the way through his whole entire sermon. Sounded all weird, and you listen to it, and you say, ugh, that sounds terrible. And I mean, literally hundreds of times an entire sermon. And he's very embarrassed about it and very insecure about it. Made him pray a whole bunch. And made him know that it's not going to be him. And God does that. God says, I choose the unlikely so that I will keep people from boasting. Number two, he saves us completely. First, he used the unlikely. Secondly, he saves us completely. You know the verse, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace he is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works. Why? Lest any man should boast. For ye are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You know what the Bible says there? God saved us not by your works, but by grace through faith. Why? So you won't boast. And even the faith that you exercise to say yes to Jesus is a gift from God. So you don't say, I'm going to heaven because I'm so good, or because I earned this, or because I was the best person in church. The Bible says, I don't want anybody boasting about their salvation. So nobody gets to heaven by their good works, lest any man should boast. After a while, you learn real quick when you're witnessing. You can tell if they're saved or not many times by their first couple words. How do you know you're going to heaven? Well, I've been a really good... And you immediately know. You're boasting about your salvation because of you. Or they'll say, because Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose again, and I'm trusting him to save me. There's a big difference. And you'll find people with work salvation boast about their earning their salvation, how good they are, and they deserve it. God says, I completely save you without any of your work, so you can't boast about it at all. It's all me. Lest any man should boast. No one will be in heaven saying, man, I earned my way here. Everyone will get there saying, I was saved completely and solely by Jesus Christ. I don't deserve to be here. I praise God. I'm here. I am blessed because Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose again. Hey, he saves us completely to keep us from boasting. He must know humans pretty good. Hey, man, all those people who are all proud and saying, I'm good enough and I earned my way and I've lived a good enough life to get to heaven, the second they die, all their boasting is excluded. All their boasting is gone. Romans 3 tells us this, and very clearly and very powerfully, because of this thing of boasting, God takes it out of the way because there's nobody righteous. Romans 3, 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, I say by the law of faith. Verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Why? Verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Boasting is excluded because the law proves everybody comes short. And that means it's all by faith. God says, I want to save you and I want you to know it's me and nothing else. And so he says, I want to keep man from boasting about their salvation, so I will save them completely and leave them out of it. Even their faith they're going to exercise in me will be a gift for me. It's all me. And that's why those of us who are saved say, Lord, thank you for saving my soul. It was all you, Lord. It was all your gift of Jesus Christ, lest any man should boast. The devil, God knows that how people can be destroyed. The devil will do anything to keep God from getting the glory. He doesn't care if you give it to a church and say, the church saved me. That's fine with him, as long as God doesn't get the glory. He doesn't mind if you say, I saved myself. He doesn't mind if you say, I built my own life, or you say, my college built my own life, or my brilliance built my own life, or my parents built my own life, or my upbringing built my own life. He doesn't care as long as God doesn't get the glory. Listen, if you know the story in Exodus 33, or 32, Moses is up on the mount, and it's the stupidest story in the world. They said, make for us gods. And he said, okay, give me all your earrings. He melts them all down, makes a calf, and says, behold, your God which brought you out of Egypt. And they gave glory to an idol they just built. I don't know. I can't worship something I had built. Seems kind of illogical to me. It shouldn't it be worshiping me if I made it? I mean, Seems like that to me. I don't know. But they go, and they worship something he just made. Because the devil, and by the way, the devil's behind that, always trying to keep God from his glory. We are created, it says in Ephesians, for the praise of his glory. And so the devil is always trying to keep God from getting glory. And if he can in any way keep you from giving God the glory, he will do something. It's my nation. It's my family. It's my this. It's me. It's my intelligence. It's my decision. It's whatever. But God wants the glory. And so God says, I'm going to keep out boasting. And we do that. It keeps us from ruin. It keeps us dependent. It makes us give him the glory. Next thing that he does to keep us from boasting, he does it. He brings us low. He brings us low. I'm going to go to the book of Daniel. He brings us low sometimes to keep us from taking his glory and to keep from boasting out of our lives and to keep people from boasting. And Daniel chapter 4, verse 30, the king spake and said, is not this the great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? He didn't know. God said specifically in Isaiah, I put you there, Nebuchadnezzar. And he also said in the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar was already told this in chapter 3. Chapter 2. Nebuchadnezzar, God gave you this glory and this kingdom. And while the word is in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And they shall make thee eat grass, the oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee, 7 years, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails were like bird's claws. He learned, don't take God's glory. He learned, God said he gave you this kingdom, Nebuchadnezzar, look at this kingdom I built for my glory, and by my power and my majesty. And God says, you will now be an animal in the field, eating grass with feathers on you for 7 years. That pretty much humiliates you pretty quick. That'll take you off your high horse. And down he went very quickly. Sometimes God brings us low. Many times I've watched people who sit there and just say, I've got this, and this is this, and I've got this. And they've got their kingdom set up of themselves and how strong they are. And I think, buddy, you are nuts. God's going to humble you. The Bible says in Matthew 23, verse 12, he says, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exhausted. Now, Nebuchadnezzar had a temporary loss of all his ability. He brought him very low. Sometimes it's temporary because we learn. By the way, Nebuchadnezzar, that haughty guy, he learned. Sometimes people get brought low and don't learn, and they get brought low and never come out of it. Nebuchadnezzar learned, so it was temporary, and that's a much better way to do it. Look at verse 37. And now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and honor the King of heaven, all whose ways are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. He brings us low, not because he hates us, but to keep us from ruin. To keep us dependent upon him, because without him we can do nothing, to give him his glory that he has truly earned. That seems mean. No, God watched somebody who was perfect and somebody who was wonderful be destroyed, called Lucifer. Because he says, I will exalt my throne. I'll be like the Most High. I'll take God's glory, and I'll be like the Most High. And watched him turn into a dirty serpent, who is evil and vicious and terrible and going to burn forever in hell. And he doesn't want you to be destroyed by taking his glory and exalting yourself into God's place. There's nothing wrong with confidence. That's fine. David had confidence when he went and killed Goliath. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you put yourself in God's place and you say, I've gotten this victory when it was something that God had to do. And even when you understand, there's certain things that you can do that God gives you the ability. You don't need to say, God, only by God can I walk across the street. Yes, that's true, because God gave you the ability to walk across the street. Only by God can I pay my bills. Well, if you work hard, God gives you the ability to work hard. I mean, there's many things. Now, you only have that ability by God. However, understanding that there are certain things you can't do without God, that even with what abilities he's given you, that's where you need miracles above and beyond what he's naturally given you. And when you go and take God's place and say, I did this great thing, then God says, I'm not going to let you have my glory. Praise me, you can walk and talk and run and think. Praise me for all those things every day. But especially when something needs big done, like the Midianites need destroyed and you can't do it, my glory will I not give to another. And Nebuchadnezzar, you could have never had this kingdom in this whole world if I wouldn't have given it to you. It was my will. And don't take my glory and don't do that. Sometimes God brings us low so that we will never get the glory, so that we will not exalt ourselves and take God's glory, so that we will not boast in his sight. Sometimes you fail. Sometimes God allows you to fail. He says, I'm going to keep you humble. And for the rest of your life, and by the way, if I can word this right, a really proper failing in life, if you're a good learner, should be sufficient for the rest of your life. But it's usually not. It really isn't easy for the rest of your life. It should be, boy, I thought I had everything together and God showed me I needed him so bad. But you know what we do? We go and get on our knees and beg God and say, oh, Lord. And then we afterward give God the glory. And about 3 months later, we go and think, I know what I'm doing. And God humbles you again. I've watched people, the most amazing thing is I've watched people humble and them completely be brought low and fail. And they cannot acknowledge their failing. They had a bad run of luck and a bunch of people in their life were just against them. And they just won't admit, you're proud and God's humbling you. And you have no control right now. And God does that. And he brings us low and lets us fail. How about Moses? Moses said, I'm going to go kill the Egyptian and they'll know I'm the one who's going to deliver Israel out of Egypt's hand. And what happened? They said, get out of here. What are you doing? Are you going to kill us like the Egyptians? And he scared and ran for his life. And he was brought very low. But by the time he got the burning bush, he knew not to give God, not to give, take God's glory. Because God let him fail. And sometimes God lets you fail, and sometimes God lets you go down, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with failure if it teaches you that you need the Lord, and that's fine. Everybody's going to fail sometimes. Sometimes you had a good idea, and it failed. Sometimes you plan it out well, and it failed. And you realize the best laid plans of mice and men. Things can change and not everything works out like you have planned. And it teaches you to pray about everything and trust the Lord. Sometimes you lose everything. And that makes you depend upon the Lord. How about Nebuchadnezzar? King of the world to being a creature in a field. That's a fall. It'd be like seeing Bill Gates on the corner. Need help. I mean, it'd be like, can you imagine that? It's worse than that for Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, that Nebuchadnezzar was brought all the way low and lost everything. And he says, you can't do anything without me. Sometimes you're put in impossible circumstances like Gideon. You see these things all over the Bible. But it's because he has seen the destruction that human pride can bring and it will give glory to the wrong things and trust in the wrong things. The Bible says, like for example, people trust in uncertain riches. Right now, a big trust of mankind is their trust in the government. We're trusting so many things. We're trusting so many people. Listen, you're not going to have anything you can truly trust in this world. The greatest of men is subject to one wrong heartbeat. And the greatest of governments come and go. If I'd have told you in 1980 there'd be no USSR in 1995, they wouldn't believe you. And by the way, you know most Americans, we think that America is going to be here until Jesus comes, going to be solid. Do you know, that might not happen. Don't trust in that you're in a safe country. Trust in God ultimately for everything. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And God does these things. He does that. One more verse and Psalms 1:15. Somebody just understood this. I don't want God to have to bring me low. I don't want God to have to humble me. For me to know that I need him. I don't want to when everything goes right. I hope when our church runs 1,000 people, I'm not getting everywhere and say, you know what? I knew exactly. It's because I have such a good pastor. If I ever do that, will you go hand me one of my old sermons and remind me who I am? Can you remind me of some of the dumb things I've done? Don't do it now. I'm too fragile now. Wait till I have 1,000 people. You know what? It didn't take me very much to remember who I am. Hey, I can remember when nobody wanted to come to church to hear me. I'm amazed we have 90 people come hear me now. And I'll be amazed when we have 1,000 people. I'm amazed we have 10. We had a load in the bus the other week. We had 7 people total. And I thought on the way in, boy, I would have loved to have these 7 people at one point. Remember who you are. Remember that it's only by the Lord. I don't mean kick yourself all the time, but just be careful to give God the glory so he doesn't have to bring you low. Psalms 115, verse 1, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is their God? Lord, don't give us your glory. I don't want that. I'm afraid of that. Somebody the other week said to me, Pastor, things are going so well in my life, and it's all because of you. And I said, amen. Not me. I might have given you some advice and preached the word to you, and yes, give honor to whom honor is due, but ultimately, it's just God's word I give you. It's not like I had some great original thought or anything. It's I taught you the Bible. And I want to say, folks, God does not want us to boast. So he does a few things. He uses the unlikely. And that's why you should say, me? This is going to be awesome if God does something. He's surely going to get the glory. Or you say, or he saves us completely so that we don't boast, or he brings us low. And when you put in the position of Gideon saying, Lord, you know, you just got rid of all of what was supposed to help me here. And you say, God says to you, I put you in a situation where you don't have any more help, or the help is very limited. You might have God saying, I'm going to do something big here. So you'll know it's me, and I'll get to glory. And that's okay. Gideon is pretty happy after his 300 defeated the Midianites. So let's put ourselves in the position, not be afraid, to be where God, where the Lord is going to get the glory in our lives, and where we will not boast. And it's okay if God puts you in that position. Let yourself be humbled. If that's what it is, sometimes it's not because you did anything wrong. Gideon didn't do anything wrong. God just wanted Israel not to go out and give themselves the glory. You might not have anything wrong, but God may be put in a position where he's going to do something so powerful that he's going to get great glory. And if your hard times or your situation where you can't do it by yourself gives him great glory, then that's worth it. Amen. Then that's worth it. Let's pray. Father, help us to keep from boasting, Lord. Thank you, even in salvation is 100% done by you, Father, and that we give you the glory for it. And Lord, help us to keep from boasting. Lord, not many wise, not many noble, not many mighty are chosen. You've chosen the foolish things to confound the wise and the things which are mighty. Lord, you use us, Lord, and use us who don't have everything perfect and aren't all the most talented and aren't the sharpest, Lord, so you can get glory. And I pray, Father, that you would be able to get glory. And I pray that we'd remember that it's you who even gives us the ability to breathe and everything else. May we not have to be as humble, as low as Nebuchadnezzar. May we just remember that it's you. And if you put us in a situation where we're dependent or where you're going to have to bail us out, Lord, help us not to be distraught there, but just say, okay, Lord, we'll give you the glory at the end if you can do this. Please, Lord, help us to have boasting excluded. In Jesus' name, heads bowed, eyes closed.